13, and we'll look at verse number 11. If everything goes the way it's been going, tonight and two more weeks, and we'll have gone through this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians pretty thoroughly, I think, and I think it's been a good, enjoyable study for me anyway. Today we want to talk about grown-up love. And we read different verses in 1 Peter chapter 3, but the last verse specifically talked about, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We're to grow. We're to keep growing. And we're to mature. And so we want to talk about grown-up love today. In verse 11, it says this: When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the next three verses in this particular chapter, verse 11 and 12 and 13, really show us the nurturing of charity or the nurturing of love. The first three verses in 1 Corinthians 13 show us the necessity of charity, where he said, you know, if you don't have charity, you're like useless noise and you can have all these gifts, but you're nothing. The next four verses showed us the nature of charity or the characteristics of charity. And now the final three verses will show us the nurturing of charity. So that's a simple little outline that we followed. Knowing the importance of charity and knowing what charity is, though, is not enough. It's not enough. We need to nurture that love so that we can minister charity to other people. Our love, just like everything else in the Christian life, our love needs to mature. Because the love of God is not natural, it needs time to mature and grow in our hearts. If we are to make the most of our lives living charitably, and if we are to maximize the joy of relationships that are secure and stable, then we have got to learn to love one another with the love of God. And everybody that I know wants relationships that are secure and stable. Normally, healthy children mature through just a natural process. You don't have to teach in a normal process. You don't teach a child to get taller or to grow. It just naturally happens. But you do have to teach a child to tell the truth. You do have to teach him, don't lie. You have to teach him those things. Why? Well, that's part of the sin nature. And eventually that's going to come out. It seems like every parent has an interesting story of a child trying to steal something somewhere at a time or two. But God's love is like teaching children to tell the truth. We must learn to mature in charitable living or in love. We must learn and grow to experience and share with others the fullness of that love. I don't know if you've ever recognized this, but there are three distinct groups of people in 1 Corinthians. There's the natural man. That is somebody that is not saved. Paul mentioned here, as he wrote in chapter 2 and verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He's a lost person. There's another guy who's a spiritual person. That is somebody who has accepted Christ. They're mentioned in verse 15 of the same chapter, chapter 2. The guy or girl who has the biggest Bible, who says amen the loudest, they're not necessarily the most spiritual. But there are those that are spiritual. That's determined on how they are growing in the Lord as a believer. But the church at Corinth had people in both of those classes. But it seems the most common person in the church at Corinth were not necessarily the lost or the spiritual. It seems to be they were, the word Paul used there was carnal. They just seem to have a lot of carnal Christians there. Now, these are those who they're saved, but they're not growing. Except I will say this. You know where they are? They're in church. At least they're in church. I can never understand why a saved person does not want to be in church. It makes no sense to me. But these people were in church, but they were still carnal. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We should have went back and read them other ones as well. In verse 1, oh, I went all the way back to Acts. That's a jump. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They had stayed babes. He couldn't speak to them as mature Christians. They were still baby Christians. When we get saved, we do not automatically become spiritual adults. Wouldn't it be nice if we did? But we don't. Now, the problem isn't we start out as babes. That's not the problem. It's that people never grow and they stay babies all the time. That's the problem. God intends for us to grow up. God intends for us to develop and mature in our walk with him and in our love for him and others. So Paul contrasts, go back to chapter 13 if you haven't. Paul contrasts the difference between spiritually mature people and spiritually immature people. And he only uses two words to show what they are. And the word is, when I was a child, I spake as a child. That's the one word. And the other word he used was, but when I became a man. So he contrasts the child and the man. Now, we're supposed to mature if we are to live our lives with maturity. We have no choice. And as we mature, our love, and that's what we're going to talk about in a minute, maturing our love, we maximize the blessings and the benefit of that love in our relationships. In this text, then, in the whole chapter, we are to mature in love. So Paul says, you need to put away childish things. Now, if you notice what Paul used here, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, or I reasoned as a child. So he uses the word spake, thought, and understood. Now, it's interesting. They seem to correspond with verse 8. His charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So the word spake seems to go with tongues, and the word understand seems to go with prophecy, and the word thought seems to go with knowledge. One of the points here is to explain the partial revelation via tongue and so forth like that will cease when the fullness of revelation of God, the scripture, is completed, which occurred by the end of the apostolic age when the New Testament was completed. Paul says we are to become a fully grown up and mature believer. And he says, put away childish things, and he identifies three specific areas that we need to grow and mature. And perhaps you don't always notice these, but he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. One of the ways we need to grow is in our communication. Remember what he said in verse 1 in this chapter? He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. One of the areas in people's life that needs to grow is communication. A baby makes noise. And after a while, they make lots of noise. If you ever hear, now the stool's not here because my back's been feeling better. Up until a couple days ago, it's just got this weird twinge in it here lately, but there was a stool here. And Emmett comes up here, and he stands on that stool Sunday nights after church, and he preaches up a storm, don't he, Mel? Nobody has any idea what he's saying. He's pounding the pulpit. I don't know where he gets this. Maybe Melissa listens to some funky preachers at home or something. I don't know what's going on. But he's pounding on the pulpit, and he's hollering, and then he finally says amen, and he's done, and he gets down. Nobody knows what he's saying. They try to tell you something. You can't figure out what they're trying to tell you. They get frustrated. You laugh. The poor little girl or guy is frustrated. But the point here is this. As we mature, our words will communicate the love of God to others as we speak to and as we interact with them. That's how our communication and where our communication needs to grow. We've got to express charity to others. Words are a very powerful expression of love. Or they are a very powerful expression of disappointment and contempt. Thus, we are to weigh our words carefully. I'll back up. A lot of people don't weigh their words carefully. You know that? Here's what they do, and they brag about it. I just say it. You know, we're going to look at some Proverbs here in a minute. In fact, why don't you turn over to Proverbs chapter 25. I don't think that's the wisest thing we can do. Have I ever done it? Yes. Will I ever do it again? Most likely. Yes, again. But that doesn't make it right. Proverbs 25. We've said, or we've heard people say, I just say what's on my mind, which might be nothing more than baby babble. Or maybe we hurt people because what's on our mind might be harsh and cruel. Those have to do with how you express yourself, not necessarily what you say. Unloving words can really be hurtful. Mature words are thought out. Let me just say this before I read Proverbs 25. You know, there's something that people do in communication that bothers me more than anything. Talk over the top of you. Man, it just rubs me the wrong. You know, when you're talking to somebody, and maybe it's a little bit, it's been a debate, but it's starting to get a little heated debate. And so you say something, you don't even finish their sentence, and they're talking. Man, that bugs me. I've tried to completely stop doing that. I don't know that I've knocked it out of the park every time yet or not, but I try to not do that. But I'll tell you one thing I do when people do it to me. You know what I do? I just shut up. That's it. I'm done. I'm not talking anymore. I'm going to act like a two-year-old baby. Just what I'm going to do. That's kind of what I'm going to do. But it's like, before you can finish your thought, people talk over you. Look at Proverbs 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken, the right word, said the right way, at the right time. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's also easy for us to do the right or say the right thing in the wrong way. Jump ahead to chapter 29. We'll read a verse there in just a moment. We can speak with the wrong attitude, or we can say things at the wrong time, and the result will be this. Rather than being a blessing by our expression of agape love, unfit words alienate us from people that we're actually trying to love. That's why it's important that we learn to grow and mature in our love and in our communication with our love skills so that we communicate the love of God properly. A mature love communicates compliments. A mature love does not criticize all the time and over and over. That gets old. Do you really think a situation is going to get better because you poke and you prod somebody with your tongue? Do you really, and because you're not mad right now, you're thinking sensibly, I would imagine. Do you really think that's going to help the situation? No. We've got to grow to the point where we know we can't always say what we want to say. But man, we want to say it. So look at Proverbs 29 and verse 11. It says this. A fool uttereth all of his mind. You know what we are when we just say it? You know who we're acting like? The fool. The book of Proverbs contrasts the fool and the wise. But when that happens, we act like a fool. But notice what he says. But a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. He doesn't just say it. He doesn't just say what's on his mind. He doesn't just let it out there. He just doesn't talk over the top of people either. He's acting wise. Sometimes we act like fools. So what we have to think about is this. Do my words reflect a mature love for others or a childish love for myself? Because children normally are more interested in themselves than they are anybody else. One of the biggest marks of a mature communication is an apology. You know an apology? When you say something like, I was wrong and I ask you to forgive me and I am sorry and you take all the blame. I remember one time, it was kind of funny, but I was talking to this lady. We were talking about something once, and I said, well, I think this is what's going to end up happening. And she says, no, Pastor, this is what's going to happen. I said, okay, we'll see. So I walked up to her. It happened just the way I thought it was going to happen. So, of course, I had to use that as ammunition, you know, because my love hasn't matured like it ought to. So anyway, I said, I see this is how that turned out, yeah? So I guess that would make me what? She says, right. So I had to say this. So I guess that would make you? She just walked away. Which that was fine. It was all a joke anyway. But you know, sometimes one of the best things we can do is apologize and say, forgive me. And along with that, you know, what's another mark of maturity? You grant forgiveness. When somebody says, I did this and I'm sorry, you say, you're forgiven, and it's done. A lack of harshness, a lack of criticalness, a lack of hardness is a sign of maturity. We are to grow. That's what he's teaching in 1 Corinthians 13. We are to grow in our language. And then the other word, he said, I spake as a child. Then he used another word, I understood. We're to mature in our understanding. Now, this is a word that is used to express the process of forming an opinion about something. How do you form your opinions about something? Mature understanding is necessary for expressing the love of God to others. A baby plays with a rattle and has a plug in its mouth, also known as a pacifier. I see you type that in there, Melissa. I knew there was a name for that plug. Anyway, if you see an adult that way, you think it's strange. Wouldn't you think it's strange if I came in here with a pacifier in my mouth? That'd be weird. Remember the 2016 presidential election? Shows how immature many are. And others desire to keep it that way, I might add. But we grow up, and we put away childish things, and we learn how to formulate opinions. It has the idea that we focus on what is truly important and valuable and what really matters in ways we can minister to other people. I mean things that really matter. Jesus used the word, look what he said in Matthew chapter 16. Verse 23. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that are of men. You see the word savorest? It's the same word that is used to understand in 1 Corinthians 13:11. Jesus says, Peter, your understanding is earthly. You don't understand what's really important. Like the things of God, they're really important. Here's why some go to the park on Sunday and not to church on Sunday. They don't recognize what's really important. The ball game or whatever. The things of God is what's most important. Our opinions and our values need to be based on the Word of God rather than on the thinking of our culture. It's got to be based on the book. Third thing is our thinking. We need to mature in our thinking. That's the process of reasoning. We call it logic. You don't discuss world economics and government issues with a three-year-old. They don't get it. I'm pretty sure that they're not going to be able to reason any of that out. They are not mature in their thinking. So you're still in Matthew 16. Jesus warned his disciples about false doctrine. And he called it in verse 6. Let me back up a page. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So he mentions leaven. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Now, their reasoning was way out of whack. They worded the word leaven and assumed, must have something to do with bread. The leaven is a type of sin there. Now, they thought, he said, they were reasoning, don't bring any bread with you. That's not what Jesus was saying. You know what it showed on their part? It showed immaturity on their part. They left out the most important factor, the God factor. They looked at the situation logically from a human standpoint, where a maturing Christian does not make decisions based on what is logical in the natural world. He makes decisions based on what is supernatural possible. I want you to go to Acts 17 just for a moment. I know I'm going to go over a few minutes tonight. I was hoping not to. But I'll be done here in just a second. Verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. What did Paul reason from? The scriptures. Paul said, now I'm going to give you the God fact. Logical thinking that includes God and chooses God's plan as our plan is where the process of maturity begins, and that kind of thinking will lead you to mature opinions, and it will lead to mature communication, and it will lead to mature understanding. We use logic with a Bible perspective. We choose God's plan. A mature Christian who is one who communicates the love of God, has opinions that are based on the Word of God. He uses reasoning that brings God into the power of communicating the love of God where he lives. Now, some of you have heard me mention the book Tortured for Christ. It's the story of Richard Wurmbrand. And he was at a meeting, and he was the speaker at the meeting, and there was a pastor there that wanted to go hear him, part of it. Here's part of his story as related by the pastor. He said he went into Grand Rapids to hear a man named Richard Wurmbrand speak. I didn't know anything about him, but I will always remember his story. For 14 years, he was horribly persecuted in Romania prison because of his faith. He refused to submit to the communist government's control of his preaching and his church. It was obvious that night, if you looked at the man on the platform, that he didn't quite fit in. His clothes were older. His tie was not the right width. It's something how the width of ties changes, isn't it? But anyway, when he stood to speak, I could hear something in his voice that overcame all of the outward surface differences. And I knew immediately that this was not a man who made his decisions based on what was logical to human thinking. All he would have needed to do to gain his freedom was to take a license from the government and let them dictate what he preached, but he refused because he was focused on a different standard of decision-making. He communicated the love of God in a way that I had never heard before, and it was obvious that he was a mature believer who had put away childish things. His communist jailer made him stand outside naked in the middle of winter until his feet would literally freeze to the ground. When then they finally came to take him back inside, the skin would be ripped from the bottom of his feet. They took his own fecal matter and urine and forced it down his throat, blaspheming it as the Lord's Supper. How foolish to suffer like that. Then he goes, ... Or is it? Could it be that Wurmbrand is wise and those of us who are focused on material possessions and childish things are fools? Could it be only our arrogance that makes us think that we have chosen rightly? Could it be that we are so far short of what God intends the mature Christian life to be that we don't even recognize our own shortcomings? As a result, they're unable to show the love of God in speaking and in thinking and in understanding. Paul says, put away childish things. He says, grow up and mature. People in the church and at work and at school need to hear and they need to see the love of God in me, and they need to see the love of God in you. Now, there are three areas there that we don't always talk about when we talk about maturity. But Paul said, if you're going to love the way God wants us to love, you're going to have to mature in those areas. Father in heaven, we come to you this evening praying in Jesus' name that you would grow us as a church body, and while most of the body is not here, grow us as a church body in these areas of communicating, of understanding, of reasoning, that we would make and do and say everything based on a love for you and a love for your word, and best as we can discern what you would have us to do. Now, most of us will never suffer the way Brother Wurmbrand had suffered. But yet he seems to have an unbelievable spiritual maturity about him that puts most everybody to shame, especially in America. So, Lord, would you be so kind as to grow us and to mature us in all areas of our spiritual walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.